Essa Holopainen на нашата гореща телефонна линия. Hey, Essa, hello, how are you?
Thanks, I'm really good, really nice to talk with you again.
Well, it's been an year and a half since your last show in Sofia, but this time the idea to have you with us here is a brand new album coming in April. And obviously, the thing is like that everything goes in circles. So the question is, when this next Bulgaria concert will take place?
If it would be up to me, it would be tomorrow. But I don't know. It all depends on the routing, what we do for the next tour. But there's an idea now that we do the tour within two legs, so if it's not the first leg, then definitely on the second leg. But we'll not forget Bulgaria, of course.
Essa Holopainen, въпросът беше да, мина година и половина от предишния и последен ваш концерт тук в България. Той беше на 10 ноември, сигурно си спомняте, 2011 година. Обаче поводът сега е да говорим за вашия предстоящ нов студиен албум, който излиза в края на април. Казва се Circle, кръг, и понеже нещата се движат в кръг, кога ще бъде следващия ви концерт в България, се казва, ако зависеше от мен още утре. Но всъщност в момента се прави, изглобява се турнето. Имаме желание да го направим в две части, на два лъча, образно казано, така че ако не е първият, така че със сигурност няма да забравим България за вторият. Well, this time we have Peter Tegren instead of Marko Hietala. So, the first thing that comes to your mind when you compare these two names is that this new album should be more brutal and more heavy than your latest releases. Is it a fake impression?
I don't know. It's, of course, Peter's work is totally different what Marko does, and there's a difference between these guys' personal view as or artistic view as a day and night. So, I think when we started to check about the producer, at the first place we wanted producer, somebody outsider who can tell us what, you know, if it's okay or not. And we've been talking with Peter, I think, many years about it. Every time we meet him, he always starts to talk about that you guys should record in the Abyss and let's record together. So, now we start to think about that it might be a good idea, because he's a familiar guy and he's been following us and knows what we are doing, and he's not trying to push us to do any Dimmu Borgir type of stuff. So he really respects what we are as a band.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the main thing what he brought in the band was definitely the guitars, because he's a guitar player himself. He wanted to bring out the guitars, which is great, because there's two guitar players in the band. I think guitars should be heard. So I think that's definitely where the more aggressive and more raw sound comes from.
Mm-hmm.
We took the guitars.
Този нов албум на Amorphis, за разлика от последните години, на практика не е продуциран от Марко Хиетала, знаете го, той от Nightwish. За сметка на това е правен от популярния швед Питър Тегрен от Hypocrisy, The Abyss и така нататък. Всъщност това означава ли, че този нов албум е по-брутален, по-тежък? Еса каза, всъщност, не знам. Всъщност, ние естествено се познаваме с Питър от много години. Всеки път, когато се видим с него, си говорим за това, че можем да работим заедно. Когато решихме, че може би трябва да сменим, да намерим продуцент нов за този албум, всъщност стигнахме и до него, разбира се. Естествено, той е човек, който много добре познава нашата група и запазва нашата същност, не ни кара да звучим като Димо Боргер, а самият той е китарист и това е много важно, защото в Amorphis имаме двама китаристи, така че може би китарите са по-хеви. I had the chance to have like at least 5 to 6 listening sessions to the album. And if you remember last time, 2 years ago, about the beginning of times, I was constantly asking you again about the delays of your guitars, and this time I can't hear them as much. Was it a direct result of working with Mr. Tegren?
Well, I think, there are delays, first of all, but I think they are more down-mixed and they are more like more like a flavor in the
This is what I meant. Yeah.
They are there, but they are not that dominating them. They used to be, but I think that's probably one of the reasons because all the distorted and guitar sounds. We recorded shitloads of guitar tracks with different sounds, and we tried several sound worlds and ended up with a really raw and aggressive basic guitar sound. So it's really, I think it eats a lot of stuff there. There's a lot of keyboard parts, I think, which are more and more underneath and more subliminal, as well as some of the more fragile guitar parts and more delayed guitar parts. So I think this overall guitar sound will destroy, in a good way, destroys a lot of things underneath the whole music, but they are still there, yeah.
Okay, so the main message is buy a brand new hi-fi or high-resolution headphones.
Yeah, you could say that, yeah.
В последните години с Еса постоянно си говорим за тези дилей ефекти на неговата китара, които толкова присъстваха в музиката на Аморфис. Този път ги няма толкова. Това пряко последствие от намесата на Питър Тегден като продуцент и Еса каза, не, те са си там, но всъщност наистина са потънали малко, скрити са и всъщност дават една по-широка панорама, както има и много клавири по този начин. Тоест, това е смисъл. Аз казах, това пряко послание е да спечелите слушалки с висока резолюция. Ние, между другото, имаме една такава игра в нашата радиостанция. Well, I didn't plan to ask you this question, but now you gave me the idea about was Peter Tegren tempted to play some guitar parts here and there so you can have three guitars, not all the way the album, but like to have US with Tommy and Peter to do some parts together?
No, I think we didn't even thought about this idea, but I think he would have refused the idea. I was more waiting for him to sing some of the background vocals, because once in a while when I popped up the studio, it really sounded that Peter had done some background vocals, but it's all the vocals are done by Tommy. But it's really between there and there, it reminds a lot of some of the things what Peter's done.
Попитах го, добре, всъщност това е въпрос, който ти ме вдъхнови да се сетя за него. Самия факт, че спомена за същността на продуцента ви, Питър Тегдрен, като китарист, имаше ли моменти, в които се изкушавахте да го включите и него и заедно с теб, Еса Холопайнер и Томи Койвусари, титулярните двама китаристи на Аморфис, да имате и трета китара, не в целия албум, разбира се, в някои части, не, даже не ни и хрумна, но дори да го бяхме покадали, той щеше да ни откаже. Всъщност, понякога си мислех, че мога да го помоля да изпее някои задни вокали да се включи в тези пеери, но всъщност това и така не се случи. Talking about vocals, I do remember that in the previous cases with the albums, it was Marco Hietala who was to a very important extent responsible for the melodic lines of the songs. So was it all by Tommy this time without having Hietala next to him?
Yeah, it was Tommy, and I think it was it wasn't scary. It was everybody were a little bit unaware about how this vocal producing is going to work out with Peter, because if you know Peter's style of singing, it's slightly different than what Marco does. So
okay,
So we were a bit, afraid about what's going on. Is it just going to be a growling album and really monotonic, clean vocals? But I think it was amazingly good session for Tommy as well, because I think he really improved that. He works out great by himself and of course with the help of Peter. So I think on this album the main vocal coaching or producing from Peter was the help to arrange the text to the music and help with some of the melody lines, but I think most of the melody lines Tommy works out by himself, and I think that was amazingly great work from him, and you know, because it was the first album in Amorphis that Tommy has worked without Marko Hietala.
So mm-hmm.
It was sort of like daddy had to let the kids go. So.
Yeah. So it means a lot of more self-confidence and stuff. В предишните албуми Марко Хиетала, предишният им продуцента, всъщност и басист на Nightwish, беше човекът, който, както знаем, до голяма степен оправяше и създаваше вокалните мелодични линии, по-точно на вокалите на Томи Йолцен. Сега като го няма, какво Томи сам ли се оправяше? Да, всъщност, това е нещо като татко остави децата да пораснат. Става дума за факта, че за първи път на практика Ражи е нов певец, нов от и пета година сам. Томи Йолцен трябваше сам да се оправя с това. Знаете, че стила на пеене на Питър Тегдрен е значително по-различен от това, което правише Хиетала. Тоест, не искахме да имаме едни монотонни, чисти вокали. Така или иначе, мисля, че Томи се справи страхотно. А ролята на Питър Тегдрен беше в това да се аранжира текста към музиката, т.е. да се напаснат думите, и мисля, че се справихме великолепно. When did you actually feel it was time for a change in the producer's chair? And I read that you had like it's time for a change, blah blah blah. You realize this, but do you feel that you realize that it's time for a change in the right time? And do you think that if you had done it earlier, the beginning of Time's album would be an even better one?
I think it's a good question, because I think with the beginning of Time's album, we didn't struggle. It was a great album to do, but it was really easy one to do. And I think everyone got sort of routines already that how it works. We go again to Sonic Pump and blah, blah, blah. It's the same people. It was like there was no challenging or no danger in anything, because we knew precisely what we are going to sound like. And now it was it was definitely after that session we decided that we need a take off from these routines for the next album, and in good time beforehand we started to think about different options, and one thing was definitely to take another studio and go somewhere together as a band and spend the time, the real time together, record all the basic things together, and so that nobody leaves home, you know. So it was good. It was, you know, we had a good time, and it was like in the old days when you always went together in Sweden to record and you spent there 2 weeks together. So it was more or less back to that thing, and it was great fun, and I think it was really healthy for the whole band, and very creative as well at the same time. And about Marko, I think we would have used Marko if he wouldn't tour that much with Nightwish last year. So in that case, we definitely had to think about another options as well. Is Tommy going to do the vocals by himself, or are we going to get a producer? And then, you know, then we came up with an idea that let's take a producer who is with us the whole session, with the musicians as well, and that's just with Tommy.
Mm-hmm. Попитах го добре, да, всъщност четох някъде, че в един момент сте осъзнали, че е време да проверите нещо. Той каза, и сега е се потвърди, да, наистина усетихме, че трябва да проверим нещо, защото винаги ходим в Sonic Pump студио, познаваме всички и се получава нещо като рутира, няма ги предизвикателствата. Моят въпрос също беше, мислиш ли, че осъзна това в правилния момент, и ако го бяхте уловили по-раро, предишният ви албум, който излезе преди 2 години, The Beginning of Times, можеше да бъде по-добър албум? Много добър въпрос, каза Есер, но всъщност ние можехме все така да работим с Марко Хиетала, ако той не беше толкова зет в последните месеци с турнетата на Nightwish. Така или иначе, това предизвикателство мисля, че се справи добре. Той да отговори точно добре на този въпрос, но няма да се връщаме към това. Well, there is a concept within the album. So the question is, if we change the order in playing the songs, Are we in trouble to get the real vibe of the album? Because you know that today is not, you put your CD only and you go from track one to track nine, as in the case of this album. So you tend to download from iTunes, let's say, and then it's like it's a random shuffle of playing the songs.
I think the case with what comes to lyrics, it's not strictly chronically way on this album. It begins, it ends in the way that's meant, but what happens between texture-wise is not always in particular order. But what's more what we want to do with this album and with all the previous albums is that musically all the albums will follow the drama, so that you have a beginning and the middle part and ending. Mm-hmm. And I think this album is perfectly succeeded. It's like when you listen to the last song, New Day, and you know it gives a relief feeling that you might want to listen to the album again.
Okay, you're right. So we'd better respect your order from 1 to 9, right?
Mm-hmm. It was really, really funny because on these sessions we had a lot of songs. When we started to do the demos for this album, we had over 20 tracks, and then we started to cut the tracks down. And for the album session, we took 14 tracks, and from these 14, we took 9 tracks for the actual album. And it was very natural and really easy choice. I think everybody from the band were thinking about the same tracks, and it was, I think, one of the easiest decisions what we've made. And you know, when you start to pick up songs for the album, if you have that many songs, you eventually you end up fighting between each other because everybody has their own opinions. But I think with this album, it was really, really mutual agreement that mm-hmm. this is the album.
В този албум, без бонусите, които ще се появят в някои от изданията, всъщност има 9 парчета. Има една концепция, няма да ви я преразказвам, защото тя беше публикувана още преди месеци в нашия уебсайт. Всеки може да я намери, разбира се. Идеята за кръга, как мъдрите хора сядали и взимали решения в кръг и така нататък, за един човек няма да ви я преразказвам, както казвам. Но всъщност, дали ако не следваме стриктната хронология на тези песни, т.е. не ги слушаме първа, после втора, трета, четвърта и до девета и така нататък. Преди факта, че ако свалим този албум от iTunes или ако по някаква друга причина ни изпадне от друг начин, го слушаме на разбъркан модел, ще пострадаме. Той казва от гледна точка на текстовете не. Но всъщност албумът е направен така и така измислен, че ако го слушаш от начало до край, всъщност наистина, като завършиш по схемата начало, развръзка, финал на историята, после искаш да си го пуснеш от начало. Ние, когато започнахме, имахме цели 20 песни, когато започнахме да записваме демотата, след което разбрахме, че трябва да ги намалим за албума, стигнахме до 14, и след това от тези 14 лесно избрахме 9. Лесно, имам предвид, че обикновено всеки се дърпа, застъпва се за други песни, но този път се получи най-лесно, всички бяхме по някакъв начин единодушни. From out of these 9 songs, there is a first single called Hopeless Days, but at the same time, the first video is for another song, Nightbird's Son. Why?
I knew beforehand when, you know, there's a DVD coming for the limited edition. Mm-hmm. Of this album, and this DVD includes a document, the making of document. We had a one good friend of us, a photographer, who is also doing little film projects, and he was with us the whole session, and he filmed the circle session. So it's going to be a really nice document there. And from this document, he wanted to do sort of a collection video, and at the studio he started to work with a Nightbird song.
Okay.
So I knew beforehand that this is going to be the thing people are asking about. Okay, why is it like this? But it's a Nightbird song. It's a video which is sort of a bonus video for the album. you know, we didn't have any idea about what is going to be the single song or whatever when he started to make this video. But I'm really, really happy that he did it, because it did.
Mm-hmm.
It came out really nice. But there's going to be a video from Hopeless Days. It looks like it's pretty hopeless video session, because it takes a lot of time. We haven't booked yet the director. Oh, actually, we have now booked the director, but we are waiting for his script and blah, blah, blah. So I hope that this video will be out sometime when the album comes.
Първият сингъл от новия албум на Amorphis е песента Hopeless Days, но в същото време знаем, че ще има видео на друга песен Nightburst Sun. Защо той каза? О, знам, че ще ми зададете този въпрос. Всъщност, луксозното издание на албума ще бъде придружено от DVD. DVD по време на сесиите на звукозаписите с нас през цялото време имаше един наш приятел, фотограф, който се занимава и прави къси филмчета. Той снимаше и всъщност реши да направи в този документален филм, да го наречем, в DVD-то, което съпътства Лусозото издание, и клип на една от песните. Той си избра Nightbird's Sun, още преди да знаем кой ще е сингъла. Знаех, че ще ни задава този въпрос, но така или иначе той си избра това парче. А сега ще имаме клип и за сингъла, само че вече знаем дори кой е режисьора, но чакаме потвърждение, както и той да ни изпрати своя сценарий. There is a song on the album, the seventh one, which is called Into the Abyss. To what extent the title was inspired by Peter Tägren?
No, it comes from the text, but it was it was really funny, because it could also be meant that you know, you go into the Abbey studio.
Yeah.
But it's not about his studio. It has another meaning on this track.
You didn't record in his studio. Why?
You know, we talk about it with Peter, and we asked from him, what do you think? Could it be nice if we come over to the Abyss, or would it be better if you come to countryside of Finland to record with us? Or we actually used a couple of different studios here in Finland, but anyway, we asked what he think is best. And I think he wanted to get out from his studio, because there's nothing there. And he said that if you come here, you will get bored to death, because it's... We went there when he mixed the album. He mixed the album in his studio in the Abyss, but and we went there for a couple of days, and he was right. It's absolutely nothing there. It's like it's a wasteland with his studio.
Well, it's called the Abyss, so you shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I know. But we were pretty glad that we took this decision, and I think he had fun as well when he was in Finland. So.
Седмата песен, между другото, в албумът се казва Into the Abyss, в бездната. Знаем, че студиото на настоящия им продуцент Питър Тегдерен се казва така. До каква степен заглавието на тази песен е вдъхновено от него? Еса Холопайнен каза: Ореле, в никакъв случай, това просто е един елемент от текста, от историята. Е, добре, защо не записвахте в неговото студио The Abyss? Той каза: ами, говорихме за това, но всъщност Питър каза: там няма нищо, ще се отекчим безобразно. Всъщност записвахме в два студийни комплекса в Финландия. Той го смеси там, наистина беше прав, отидохме, докато смесваше, нямаше абсолютно нищо. We saw these little YouTube stuff that you were regularly posting on the internet about a Petrak studio with this pastoral thing with the sheep and the beers. I mean, to what extent there is a strategy in exposing the band more to the public using these tools like Facebook, let's say, YouTube and stuff, more than, let's say, 3 or 4 years ago? And is it like a consciousness move to use it, or it just happens in the course of life?
It happened now, because all the guys in the band, we are really lazy about updating anything. So this time we had this friend of ours who was filming the whole thing. He was with us in the studio, he took photographs, and he was sort of the key person to promote and do clips and show what we actually do there. And without him, I don't think we wouldn't broadcast basically nothing. Perhaps stupid photos to Facebook or whatever,
yeah.
But with his help, you know, it was great. We didn't know what he's doing. We, you know, at some point we didn't notice his presence anymore, but he was always filming something and And he did these YouTube clips from the document what he's been working on. It was really nice because it really shows the mostly about the atmosphere and the feeling at the studio because it was as it was, you know.
But still, you had enough time to edit all the embarrassing parts that he may have shoot.
Yeah, we said him that we will we will, you know, feed him to these sheep if he yeah.
Сигурно сте виждали в YouTube цяла серия от видеоматериалчета от това студио Петракс, което е в откритата природа в Финландия, там с едни бири, едни овце, изобщо страшно пасторално. До каква степен всъщност това е съзнателна концепция и политика на групата и стратегия да използват тези ставащи все по-силни в последните 3-4-5 години неща като Facebook, YouTube, е сега ние всъщност сме адски мързеливи в групата и добре, че беше този раз приятел, за който ви споменах, фотографът, който направи този документалното DVD, което ще съпъства луксозното издари Радиска. Той снимаше навсякъде, ние даже не знаехме какво прави, ако не беше той, най-вероятно да бяхме качили една-две тъпи снимки във Facebook. Имахте решителната дума накрая, естествено, да изрежете всички неудобни моменти. Сега за да, заплашихме, че ще го хвърлим на овцете. It's been said that you guys are going to perform and circle at its entity at a special record release show on April 25th at the circus in Helsinki. Why a circus?
It's a place, it's a venue called Circus.
It's not a circus with lions and acrobats.
No, thank God, no.
Okay.
We've been playing in circus. We played in Khabarovsk in Russia in 2008, if I remember correctly. We played, it was the same thing. We thought that there is a venue called Circus.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a real circus.
Okay. На 25 април, около излизането на албума, Аморфи ще направят специално шоу в своята столица Хелзинки. Ще свирят в цирка. Аз му казах в цирка. Той каза, това е просто залата, така се казва. Аз казах, не истински цирк с лъвове, тигри и акробати. Той каза, не, но в Русия, в Хабаровск, сме свирили през 2008 в цирк. Еса, do you like to dance?
Depends. Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
After a bottle of vodka, I do anything.
Попита го, обича ли да танцува, той се замисли, както чухте, след което се размя и каза, зависи понякога, когато изпие бутилка водка. I'm asking you, because this seventh song, The Abyss, has in a way some rhythm that is very danceable and it reminds me somehow in a very Bulgarian folk dances. That was the reason I was asking though. Please tell us more about the bonus track, That Man's Dream, that's gonna be on some of the formats of the album. You mentioned that you started with 20 songs to end up with 9. Which means that you have 11 left. Some of them, as you mentioned, are still on the demo stage. But you said there are 14 songs and has been finished. What do you plan to have to do with these?
Most of the tracks, you know, we recorded 14 tracks with vocals and everything. We mixed them, and all these tracks are going to be released there and there. On Nuclear Blast is putting out a vinyl release from this album, and we definitely wanted to put something special there. So the vinyl edition is going to include, I think, at least two bonus tracks. One you give for the Japanese, and then there's two more. I don't know where they're going to be released, but I think everything is going to be released somewhere.
Okay, so, fantastic. This is what I thought.
Even though this was typical or really obvious pickup, these 9 songs, but all the songs are enough strong to be released. So it's just they mm-hmm. didn't fit on this together with these 9 tracks. So but they are going to be released individually or together somewhere.
But that's great that vinyl is the new trend these days, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems to be, again, I think I always support vinyls, so if you can do something special with the vinyls, like give two extra tracks for there, I think it's really serves its meaning and purpose well.
Hey, it's been a very long interview. So
yeah, but still, I know.
So, last question. Being a man from the north, I'm going to ask you for the first time, I believe. At least I was drunk in our previous meetings and conversations. Mm-hmm. Please answer the big question. Ski or snowboard?
Snowboard, of course.
Okay, you're a trendy guy, man. All right, so... Yeah. So, thanks for being with us, and I'm sure the destiny will cross our paths again soon. So, say hello to the other guys. Good luck with the album, the release at the circus, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Vasil. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Ей сега Холо Байден, последни въпроси. Какво може да ни каже той за тези песни, които те са направили? Каза, че са започнали с 20 демо идеи, след което са направили и записали 14 песни, но в крайна сметка излизат само 9. В едно от изданията ще има и един бонус. Dead Man's Dream, но какво правим с останалите? Той каза, всичките тези, на практика 5 парчета, ще видят бял свят под една или друга форма. Ще имаме един бонус за японското издание, ще имаме също така за винила, защото Nuclear Blast ще пуснат винил плоча. Ей, това стара доста модерно напоследък, нали? Се каза, да, със сигурност, модерно е, но аз пък харесвам плочите и съм много зазвам. Казах, Еса, дай да ти задам накрая един въпрос, отговори най-после. През всичките тези години май не съм ти го задавал, а ако съм ти го задавал, съм бил почерпен. Кажи ли, дай ли най-после отговор? Сноуборд или ски? Еса се замисли кратко, след което каза, сноуборд, разбира се. Ти си много модерен, репликира Варбаров. След което се разделихме с увереността, че скоро пътищата ни ще се кръстосат отново. Това беше Еса Холо Пайрен от Аморфис по повод техния предстоящ нов 11-ти студиен албум Circle тук в Тангра Метал Шок по Радио Тангра Мега Рок.